Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's so
that's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B!
Bradford
Anderson! Oh, good, you remember my last name. I wasn't sure.
I did. I was thinking. I just had a senior moment. I'm like, what's his name again?
God, what? Isn't that the worst when you are, like, worst. Introducing friends and the person that you know better, all of a sudden you just blank?
Are you good at names just in general? Like, are you
no.
good when you meet people and their names?
No. And, you know, we talk about this because we, you know, in our travels, we come across lots of people and
I know
a lot of those people we end up seeing again. And, you know, and we have moments with people where there is a connection, right? Obviously,
for sure.
You know,
for sure.
We all have this connection of General Hospital. And so when we meet people on the road and we have those moments, you know, we would like to let them know that the next time we see them, that we remember them, of course. But remembering thousands of names is near impossible.
So that's a nice way of saying, listen, if we forget your name,
don't be
offended because
right.
we remember you. And
yes.
it was funny because there was a girl who was at one of our first shows on a run and the last show. And she goes, will you remember my name if you see me again? And I don't remember her name now, but I kept saying it for like a day. I'm like, okay, it's this. And then sure enough, 8 days later, I didn't remember it. So, you know, hey, what can you do?
Well, and also, but I mean, you know, now that we're spending a lot of time online and
sure.
we see a lot of people on Patreon, we see a lot of people on Facebook, we see, you know, so we see a lot of the same names over and over again. And so that is helping a little bit because when someone tells me a name, it goes in and out of my ear. When I see a name and a face together,
sure.
You know, and we've talked about this because that's how we memorize lines. We are very visual, you and I.
Total 100%. If I see it, you know, if I keep seeing it in front of me, I'm going to know.
Right.
But otherwise, it's not. I have to do some kind of weird game in my head that doesn't
totally.
Work.
That doesn't work.
That
well,
does not
and
work.
Also, but then the thing online is sometimes you don't always see their face with their name. So you
sure,
may see this
true.
Name a lot, and then you finally
right.
meet the person, and then you're like, oh, that's what you look like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember your mom's name, so.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. It's just Bradford's mom. That's fine.
Yeah. I said that because all my son is doing now, he's into all your mom jokes. Everything,
oh,
your mom,
sure.
your mom, your mom, your mom. By the way, it's his birthday today, so.
Oops. Oh, he's at school, though.
He's at school. Yeah, yeah. He's at
all
school.
Right.
So this morning we had some decorations for him. He's 15 years old now,
oh
which is kind of crazy, dude. I mean, what has happened?
I know, right?
And I know every parent can relate because they're like, overnight they went from 7 to 15 and I don't know what happened in between.
Yeah, right.
So we got some balloons last night, whatever. He liked that. You know, he kind of likes his birthday. So,
good.
No, I mean, there's people who are birthday people like we've talked about. And then, but
I feel like every kid is no jaded kids like, my birthday, just another year older.
No. Like, why he's puffing on a Marlboro.
Yeah.
mean, the porch swing. Like, oh man, 16 is going to be a bitch.
You know what? You don't get jaded until you get old enough. And then you realize that nobody cares. Right. When you get old enough and you like you go to college and then your parents aren't there to celebrate your birthday. No one's there to make a big deal out
right,
of you.
Right.
You know, it's that first birthday when no one makes a big deal out of your birthday that you're like, oh, and then
just another day.
And then as armor, you start to build the, oh, I don't really like my birthday anyway. It doesn't matter.
But I think I feel like there's some people like 21's obviously a big birthday, right? 18,
yeah.
21, 30,
right.
40. I mean, come on. You were at a comedy club on your 40th birthday. What's a better birthday than that?
Well, I mean, Steve Burton gave me a cake in front of a crowd for my 40th birthday.
Come
what
on, man.
You ask
that's
for?
Amazing.
I mean, yeah.
But so it was so we were going to get a dozen. He can bring donuts if it's his birthday for his class.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, all right, let's just leave early. Let's go get 2 dozen donuts. Well, you know, and you can give it to your class. He's like, okay, cool.
Did you go to your favorite donut shop where you get your coffee?
I did. Yeah,
dude. Oh, it makes me so happy that Steve Burton keeps a donut shop open. I love that.
Oh, it's the greatest. You know, and listen, if you don't like donuts, you might not be a human being.
Well, I mean,
who doesn't like donuts, right?
Well, the thing is, I'm not a big cake person. I love the cake that you got me on my birthday. Don't get me wrong.
But overall,
I'm not a huge cake person. But donuts are a different story,
right?
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. But so my wife's like, oh, you got to get these fancy donuts, right? You know, the fancy new fancy donut, the $10 freaking a piece donut.
Like a Cronut, you know, or something?
Yeah, some kind of, you know, freaking millennial donut. And and I'm like, no, we're not getting those. We're going to my place where I'm getting, because those donuts are great. I mean, they're there at 3 a.m. cooking donuts. Let's go.
Let's go.
So I go, and listen, it's been if I'm being honest, it's been a long time since I've bought dozens of donuts.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So I'm buying these donuts. I bought 2.5 dozen.
Stevie Bag of Donuts. That's what we're going to call you.
What do you think it cost me
for 2 dozen?
I was completely like, are you sure? I go, are you sure this is the right? Are you sure you added that up right?
You're saying 2 dozen.
2.5 dozen.
2.5 dozen. So that's 30 donuts.
Yes, 30 donuts.
Well, if it was at my local donut shop, it would probably be about $20.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes.
Would it?
Because it's $7.99 a dozen. $8.99 if you throw in a bear claw.
Wow.
But yeah, because Sacramento has a lot of like mom and pop donut stores, donut shops.
Well, and I thought this was a mom and pop, but apparently I'm getting freaking reamed.
Right. Well, I mean, is it like, are they using all natural sugars and
there's nothing natural about these donuts.
Organic wheat and eggs?
No, not at all.
Are they pleasing the beach going community?
Not at all. Zero. Zero. $62.
Come on.
$62? Is this beach price?
That's okay. For 30 donuts, that's over $2. Well, there's probably taxes. So that's about $2 a donut. That doesn't seem right.
I know. I didn't have time to sit there and argue with her because Jack was late, going to be late for school. And he gets really, you know, he gets really anxious when he's late. So anyway, whatever, dude. I bought the donuts. I got ripped off.
Were they just like plain glazed? Like what kind of donuts were they?
Well, there were some good ones in there, but you know,
plain glazed are good.
Well, no, plain glazed, but they make this one that's it's a like a croissant donut.
Ooh, say that again.
Croissant.
Ooh.
So it was a croissant. My kids hate that. They go, "Dad, it's a crescent." I go, "No, it's not. It's a croissant."
Croissant.
So, but it's that flaky, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Layers.
Layers. And it's glazed. Come on.
That's a cronut, isn't it?
I don't know.
A cronut is a cross between a croissant and a donut.
Oh, cronut. So that might be a cronut. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's so awesome. That brings up something.
That might have been the upcharge.
Well, how many cronuts did you get?
12.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Because cronuts, you have to make, it's a different process.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right. I should have asked.
They take longer to make because...
Oh, they're so good, though. I didn't have one.
It's not just a rolled thing that you throw in some oil. I think you have to layer it.
Mm, okay, cool.
I could be wrong. I'm not a cronut maker. No, but this brings up something for me. Because there are certain words that we say in, you know, mostly food items, well, not necessarily food items, but things that are, you know, words that we use in our language that are born from a different language, right? Mm-hmm. In California, we do it a lot with words that were Spanish words that we didn't change to English. We say the Spanish, but we say it poorly.
Sure.
Right. Right. So in California, there is this like that you do it kind of halfsies where you're like you say the word as it's spelled in Spanish, but you don't say it as if it's a Spanish word. Like,
right.
You know, the city of San Pedro, we say San Pedro, like
San Pedro. Right. Right.
Things like that. But the word the word croissant has always, has always like, so like, you know, people here say croissant, and
crescent roll, croissant, right. Whatever. So,
And I love them. I love them dearly.
Oh, like, they're so good.
Like there was this store on right in the Flatiron District in New York City, 21st and Broadway, called J'adore. J'adore?
Yeah, J'adore. Anyway, yeah, I love
it. It was a French bakery, and their chocolate croissants were like just otherworldly.
Yeah.
But I always feel nervous. Like, do you say croissant? Do you even if you're doing croissant, do you say croissant? Like, or like how much of the French do you do, or do you leave it out? Like, if you were a baker, you know, what would you want people to call them? What would you call them? How do you identify the thing that you're making?
This is a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode for sure. Larry David going in and going, give me a croissant.
Well, but also like, okay, like the word quesadilla, like,
yes.
Right. So there are different, so many people, quesadilla.
Dude, like, I'm laughing because that's what my father-in-law said one time. We were going through the drive-thru of some, I don't know, some fast food restaurant we should have been at years ago.
Right.
And he murders every word anyway, like just in general.
Right.
Like he says words wrong forever.
Yeah.
And he said like a quesadilla, and I go, what? Get out of the car right now. I was like, you just shamed your whole family. Like, like, what are you doing?
The other one that is a constant and bruschetta. Okay. All right. So that's an Italian dish.
A good one.
That's an Italian dish. And I lived in Italy. I don't want to be one of those people that comes back from being to a country once and says all the words from that country as if I'm still in that country, because that's a little, someone that's trying to puff out a little bit, right?
Sure. So what is the proper pronunciation?
Bruschetta.
Oh, it is? So it is it's a hard S-C-H. Yep. Interesting. Yep.
But and also E is A. So bruschetta. Bruschetta. Oh,
okay. So that's not going to be said out of my mouth.
Right. So, but when I'm ordering at a restaurant, so that's the thing is like when you're at a nice restaurant and you want to order something, it's the fine line between wanting the server to know that you know what you're talking about.
Or he goes, who the F is this guy?
Right. Or not being a D-bag. Right.
Totally.
Right.
Like you're going to get some freaking spit in your bruschetta, buddy.
Right. So I'm not going to say bruschetta but I'm also not going to go bruschetta. So I'm going to do kind of like an in between, like bruschetta. Like that's kind of what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Even though I know what it, because I don't want to be thought of as someone that's trying to appear like I know.
Dude, so, you totally would, especially with that goatee. Like they would just assume right away, like this guy's trying to show us up here.
Right. I don't want.
It's not going to end well at a restaurant for you.
Right. So it is. I do find myself mostly in restaurants, you know, or because it does come down to food. And also it's funny because in California, when you're talking about,
dude,
you sound like a non-Californian when you don't say the word right, even though the word pronunciation in California is incorrect.
Right. So what we need to do is when we're on the road, we need to go to a place that you can order a croissant, bruschetta, and a quesadilla, and I want you to order all three. I want you to order all three perfectly, and I want to look at the. I want to look at the server's face, and I will record this, and this would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you were just like talking, I don't want to say talking down to them, but just
no. That's the thing. It's like
almost talking up. You know,
right? Because I mean, it shows. Like you know, knowing how to say those words in their native tongue is a good thing. But if you don't,
but if you're at Maggiano's in Dallas. You're not going to go give me bruschetta. You're going to be like, dude, give me the bruschetta, bro. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, that's funny. So you want to hear what this dummy did?
Are you referring to yourself painful. In the third person?
I am. Yeah. You're okay, cool. Your dumb friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, without my contacts, I can't see very well.
No, I'm aware.
But, So I know, I don't know if everybody's aware, but my right eye is legally blind pretty much. Like,
wow.
It's that bad. And it's been that bad since I was a kid. They tried to correct it with patches back then. And I had huge, like they would put a patch on my left eye. My left eye was my good eye. Yeah. And they put a patch to see if the right eye would compensate. Would get better. Right. So, sure. That's not a great thing when you're a kid to wear a patch, by the way.
Well, I wonder, just so does that, you know, mean, does that mean like a poor Steven, has like his eyes get uneven because he wears a patch all the time?
Oh, I don't know.
I wonder if you wear a patch all the time.
Yeah. Who plays patch? Yeah.
Does that affect?
Well,
his
worried about his vision as an adult, as me wearing a patch as a kid.
Oh, maybe when you're a kid, your eyes are still, well, yeah.
No, how about saying, well, you got a patch on, ha ha.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, that's not great. So anyway, so that didn't last long. So, but anyway, my left eye's pretty good. My right eye's really bad. I take my contacts out, give my eyes a break at night, but my eyes were dry. So I'm looking for my eye drops. I can't see anything.
Oh, no.
First, it was not that well lit in my bathroom. Right. And the bottles were the same. So I put this thing in my eye, bro. It felt like my eye was going to burn out of its socket. Some of the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Okay. It was in a squirty bottle.
Yes.
What was it?
Earache drops. Horrible. 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 Oh,
dude.
Horrible pain, dude.
Because I don't know how many squeezy bottles I have.
I was just kind of there and it was like the one I just bought. I'm like, oh, this is it. Okay, cool. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
What'd you do to get it out?
I just rinsed it with water.
How long did it take? What was the residual time?
It was red for a while and it just was kind of, you know, burning a little bit and then it went away. But the first initial was like, that hurt. That hurt a lot because usually it's alcohol in those things or peroxide.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's breaking down something or something, right?
Yeah,
it's
in the water. Yeah, yeah. So not great. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, you know, you're too far gone for corrective surgery, right? Is that right?
Well, they say I'm not now. They said before I was because I had astigmatism, but now they say they can work around it. But, yeah, you know, listen, I'm not, I don't like lasers near my eyes. Call me weird. I mean... Call me weird,
how
but I'm not
weird.
One for a laser to like cut my eye. And my friend went and had it done. And that you actually have to watch the surgery. Like, I don't want to see a laser on an eye and that little piece of thing just pulled
right,
back.
They can't put you all the way out. Right.
No, they give you like a volume or something. Like that's all you're giving me. That's it.
That seems weird.
That's my eye.
That's
don't hurt my eye, sir, please.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not good. That's not a good thing. But anyway, well,
you know what would help you, dude? And I think you have them is you have glasses, don't you, at home?
Yeah. The problem with the glasses is they have to be less strength or I get migraines. Switching from no contacts.
Right. I'm just trying to find a way to save you in the middle of the night when you need to do something. Because as you get older, let's be real, there's going to be more midnight trips to the bathroom.
Well, there already are, buddy.
So let's try to protect you on the way. Can't put your contacts in at your bedside to get up and go to the bathroom.
No. So anyway.
All right. Speaking of getting
older.
What
else we got popping?
Yeah. Speaking of getting older, I was having this conversation. So my wife, is a high school teacher. And, she's one of the, she's a younger teacher and she looks younger. And one of the things that she deals with is seeing the fashion trends that the high school kids are doing and, navigating those because, I don't feel that disconnected from fashion trends. And as a man, it's different because our fashion trends aren't as wild necessarily as runway female fashion trends.
Don't they have uniforms there at her school?
They do, but after school and
there's free days probably.
Yeah. One of the things that is coming back are those wide leg pants.
The worst.
Right. And no matter I don't know who they're flattering on. Maybe 6'2" runway people. Right.
No.
even then, it's not a great look.
No, it's like, not.
Right. And, you know, and because she told me that skinny jeans are going out.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what that means. I like to wear, you know, form fitting pants. I don't like to wear baggy pants, nor do I like to wear like skin tight pants.
Yeah. You're kind of just you're a jeans guy. Like the jeans have been consistent and constant. There was no flare. There's no peg. There's no skinny. There's no stretch. There's no whatever. It's a jean.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And so that's my question. So that was something she brought up. And I looked at some of the fashion trends that are coming in. And of course they're talking about the ladies. And so I wanted to read a couple to you and see what your thoughts are. Okay. So this one is crazy to me. And
okay, go for it.
The oversized shoulder pad boyfriend jacket. So I'm going to share my screen here for you. Because this is bonkers to me. This looks like, and you can see these pictures. So it looks like an oversized.
Yeah, I see it, dude. This is this is the 80s.
This is the 80s. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
So these are looks like these women went into their grandfather's closet and got a blazer that is too big for them.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get
it. And are wearing it with a skirt and boots, with jeans
great.
And sneakers. And I just don't rock this look with a pair of straight leg trousers or leather shorts for an ultra modern style. Oversized.
Are you trying to ruin my whole day today with this stuff?
I just, so basically what came into my head is like, at what point, and let's be real, I know you gave up chasing current style a long time ago.
That's not a false statement, by the way.
Right. But at what age do you, because here's the other thing is, you know, a lot of people, you know, equate their style with what they found in the time when they felt most current. So if you went to, if you went to school in the 80s and you felt the most confident about your hairdo then and how you dressed then, you might be compelled to try to, you know, stay there.
Yeah.
Stay there because that's when you felt the best about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right? Probably not a great idea. Yeah.
Right. But that, I think thankfully when I was in high school, those were not my golden years. Like I went to college. I felt like I didn't feel the best about myself in high school. I was lucky enough to develop more confidence and feel better in my 20s and feel I feel the most confident in myself now than I ever did. So I'm not trying to recreate anything. I'm very happy with where I'm at now. But at the same time, does that mean I'm not current anymore? And does that matter? I don't want to be wearing dad jeans, but I feel like dad jeans is a moving target.
Sure.
So I'm curious, like, I know your wife buys a lot of your clothes.
Yes. When we go out on date nights, I wear what she buys me.
Does she lay it out for you too?
No, she doesn't.
Right.
But I'll just go put it on and I look good and the clothes are nice. And I'm like, all right, cool. I feel good. Let's go out, you know? But my day-to-day is the same, dude. I don't change that. I don't want to think about it. My day-to-day is the same. So other than that, if it's a special occasion, you know, I'll wear something current and look good.
Do you have jeans for different types of...
Yes, like, I have a couple different jeans, yeah.
Right. And would you wear like maybe, you know, looser-fitting jeans as comfort around the house versus maybe more, you know... kind of
I don't wear jeans. You know what, dude? I don't wear jeans anymore for comfort. You know,
I know you have those great pairs of like khakis.
They're
like,
khakis, but all different colors. So they're,
right. Yeah.
Super comfortable. And I just have four colors and I just,
where do you get them from?
A store here, but they're Ruka.
Ruka is the name of the brand.
Yeah. The Ruka is the name of the brand. And they're awesome, dude. They fit great. They're comfortable and you can, you know, it's casual. If I put, you know, some type of shirt on with these, then you're like business casual. You know, so it's great, but
I was wearing jeans every day. And then I, you know, when I decided I wanted to start kind of exercising in the morning, and I wanted to be in those clothes because if I'm not in exercise clothes when I come back from bringing the kids to school, that extra step of getting in exercise clothes
could stop
will make
you.
Me correct.
Totally.
So good. I'm now the guy that drops his kids off in workout clothes, but I don't want to be the guy that's dropping them off in like very specific workout clothes. Right.
Right.
So I'm getting casual athletic wear that is so, and I'm excited about it. I'm wearing less jeans and I'm okay with it. Yeah. Anyway, I know we've gone into fashion maybe more than we should have,
sure.
But the trends.
Yeah. The trends are not great. I don't understand it. And you know what? It's not my forte anyway, but those wide leg jeans. I mean, I wore some of those in the 90s and those are not a great look for anyone unless you're like Paul Bunyan.
Well, I can't imagine they're comfortable either because they tend to be like high waist. I don't know.
It higher just, waist. I saw a kid skating in them, right? Higher. Which I get if you're skateboarding, but he was obviously following the trend because they were high waisted. They were kind of cut off on the bottom. It's almost like he looked like a pirate.
Well, and they're boxy too, right?
Yeah. Like it's awesome. Horrible. Yeah. Horrible. Horrible. Horrifying. All right. Okay. Move on.
We're in agreement on that.
Dude, my man card is almost out of my pocket and in the trash right now. Can you move on, please?
Well, it's funny. You know what? I was looking at a couple of BuzzFeed quizzes and,
are you trying to make me lose my man card altogether?
That was the thing that I was leaning into a little bit. I was going to ask us some questions to see, which Jane Austen heroine we were.
No idea what you're talking about.
Right. You know what?
I have nothing to say without my lawyer.
We might do that. But you know what? One of the things I wanted to bring
you
up
might
is
not
that
do that.
I went into the recaps and, you know, one thing I didn't see in the recaps was your name at all. And I think it's because you're in jail.
Maybe. Yeah.
So have you been on the show less? Because you're in jail?
There was one week that I didn't work much. So maybe that was the week.
Right. Because I haven't noticed you not working a lot.
Yeah, no. It was, you know, it's different. I don't know, man. It's like sometimes I'll do a ton of shows and then the next week I'll do two.
Right.
So who knows where they put them? I don't know. So,
for sure.
But whatever. It's all good.
I don't
mind.
So,
I don't mind days off. I can get a lot done on my days off.
And we do.
Yes, sir.
Okay. There was another thing that I came across because I was looking at quizzes and lists and all that stuff. I came across soap opera, the soap's all time best villains ranked.
Oh, really?
And shout out to soaps.com, Soap She Knows, for this list. If you want to see the list, feel free to go to their site. And, you know, obviously, I don't watch every show. So a lot of these characters I'm not aware of and some of them are from different times as well. Right. Different eras where, you know, and then a couple of them were from our show and another show that you've worked on, Steve. So I kind of wanted to go through the list with you and see how it worked for you. And if you had any thoughts on it. Number 10 is Quinn Fuller from The Bold and the Beautiful. That looks like Rena Sofer to me.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know Bold and the Beautiful, nor do I know. But I know her. Carlo Hesser from One Life to Live. This mob boss, great.
Okay.
Number 8 out of 10, Helena Cassadine.
I know Helena.
Well, that seems a little low to me.
That seems really low to me, just based on, I don't know what these other cats were doing, but Helena has masterminded not just a villainess, like she's a mastermind.
Oh, yeah.
She's like a boss. Like you should always be afraid of her. Like she will just ruin your world and then kill you. So it's like she should be way up there, dude.
Well, what I've always loved about Constance, the actress that plays her, is her ability to find like the Cruella de Vil, but also be able to deliver like, you know, like organic, truthful stuff as well. She's not always a cartoon.
No, character. No, no. She's not a caricature of a evil boss. And she, in real life, she's so nice.
I know.
She's so sweet.
And so accomplished too. Like, yeah, she's the amazing amount, you know, we may all know her from,
we should get her on the podcast.
Oh my gosh. That'd be amazing. But
that's someone I want to talk to.
She has such fun. Do you know what I mean?
Does. Yeah. She's awesome, dude.
I love that. And I just,
she's so powerful that they can just say Helena on the show and it means something.
It's like Mufasa, but different.
You know what I mean? It's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, of course she's on the list, but, and so right under her at number 7 is Victor Newman.
Interesting. That's a good one. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, not knowing YNR too well, but no, I kind of see him as like, like the, not the patriarch of the show, but I know he doesn't always make great choices, but is he truly a villain?
He is his actions are villainous for sure.
All the time.
He'll do anything to
get ahead,
to win.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Right. So he's ruthless.
Ruthless. There you go. Good one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Young
and the Ruthless.
Yeah.
Right under him is Roger Thorpe from Guiding Light. Mm-hmm. I don't know that character. James Stenbeck from As the World Turns. Is that Roger pushing him up against it? Was Roger on As the World Turns?
I don't, dude. Who you're asking? Yeah, the wrong person.
Yeah. okay. All right. Number 4 is David Kimball from The Young and the Restless. Number 3, Sheila Carter from The Young and the Restless. That looks like Kimberly.
Wow. A lot of YNRs up there.
Number 2, Cesar Faison.
There you go.
Faison,
I don't know what this guy's done. I just know that he's always
Anders. You mean?
No. I'm talking about Faison. I know some things because I've been on the show long enough to know that he's a bad guy.
Right.
But prior to me, he must have been also a bad guy in the 80s.
Right. Because he was. When was he a regular?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know when he started the show. So it had to be in the 80s, right?
You would guess. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's a way to find out.
Sure. Yeah, it's called Google. can you Google it?
Google it.
Google it.
Let's see.
Anders.
Okay. Oh, he's from Greenland. I didn't know he was from Greenland.
Wow, that's awesome. He is.
Yeah, because I think he lives in. Does he live in Amsterdam too?
I think he does live in Amsterdam. He works a lot in Europe, or he did until, you know.
Right.
The thing. So.
Okay. So COVID. 1990 to 92, 99 to 2000, 2012 to 14, and 2018 and on.
Really? 1990?
Interesting. 1990. Interesting.
I would have guessed earlier.
Right.
But he's a great villain. He's awesome. So who's number 1?
He also had 2 crossovers with his character on Loving in 1993 and Port Charles in 2000.
Wow. Oh. Cool.
Interesting. He also worked on a Canadian soap opera called Family Passions with Ken Schreiner.
That's awesome.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. And then number 1 is Stefano DiMera.
Oh, wow. That's so Brandon is a DiMera, right?
He is. I think he's Steph. Well, he was Stefan, but now he's Stefan's twin brother.
Oh.
Right? Stefan.
Sure. That's realistic.
Stefan was Tyler before Brandon. And you were, I mean, you knew Days of Our Lives. You were on it for a hint.
For a hint. I know some people.
He's a Victor Newman type, right?
Totally.
I don't want to say that's not a nice thing to say to another legend to compare. It's just because I know Victor Newman a little bit better than I know, but like similar head of a family, but probably ruthless.
Patriarch, you know.
Right.
Totally. Right. So.
Yeah. But, you know, Helena and Faison
made it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, most soap characters are multidimensional. They're, you know, they make bad choices. Like, you know, for instance, killing 70, 80 people. But
are you talking about my character?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if Jason Morgan doesn't like you, he's a villain to you.
Yeah, but did all those people deserve it? Probably.
Sure. But nope. When, but like when
most of them,
you could you, I mean, could you imagine a storyline where, I don't know, a family member of one of the people that you killed was like, this it's your turn now.
Well, I think people are trying to make it my turn.
Oh, for real? Oh, well,
I don't know. I'm dodging it, dude. People are trying to take Jason out, bro. Come on.
Dodge, dive.
Yeah. Roll. Stop, drop, and roll, dude.
Stop, drop, and roll.
When I see fire, I stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
now, should you really stop, drop, and roll, though, if you saw fire? Like, is that what you should do?
Not if you saw a fire, if you're on fire, buddy.
Oh, I thought it was if you saw it. So, like, I saw fire once and I was walking by and there's fire in the building. I just stopped, dropped, and rolled. And somebody said, why are you breakdancing? And I said, I'm not. I said, there's a fire. Get down.
This feels like a Saturday morning to me.
Get down, man. Get down.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com. Get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right, friends. Well, this is 3 weeks in a row, so hopefully we get better at it. This is another edition of Recap Relay.
I have to get better at this, not you.
I said this to you before we recorded, and I just want to air it again for our listeners. I wanted to apologize to Steve last time, and I think I edited it out. How many syllables is in there? Edited it out. Was when you started and you did something very show specific, and I was like, oh no, let's keep it out of the world of the show. But the first one, we brought Sonny into it because it was part. And so I misled you last week. And so I apologize.
So anything goes, let's just get to the
anything goes. We're just making up a backstory.
Let's make it up.
So this one is in the Lamaze room. Peter bursts in and tells Britt he'll take over from here. I'll start.
Dude, I don't know how we're going to get there, but go ahead.
Peter's dream was to be the lead dance instructor at Port Charles's hottest club, the Lamaze Room.
That's amazing. A young lady named Britt got off a bus at the bus station in Port Charles and was looking for a job.
She wanted to inspire people to move.
Britt had to leave home because her mother was very ill and she needed to make money. As soon as she got off the bus, she was looking for a job.
And Britt knew the best way to make money was to dance.
So stupid. Although Britt was not a dancer, she decided to apply for a job at the Lamaze Room.
The Lamaze Room was a famous club in Port Charles, once owned by some famous mobsters, but in more recent days had gotten a little more wholesome.
Yeah, they tried to go from disco to square dancing, and square dancing was not a huge hit.
Although, in terms of dance style, it was the one most conducive to Britt's abilities.
Nobody in Port Charles has ever heard of the two-step until Britt brought it to the Lamaze Room.
It became a sensation. People from all over town heard about Britt's two-step.
And there were no more Western shirts in Port Charles. Everybody was buying them.
And Peter, the clothier at the local clothing store, couldn't keep them in stock. And was like, what is this sensation?
So Peter, being the shrewd businessman he is, he decided to steal every country western shirt across the country and bring him to Port Charles.
And not only that, Peter was such a conniving, just D.
Such a bastard. Yeah.
That not only did he want to take over the Western shirt charade, he wanted to take over the whole business. So he started taking country line dancing lessons on the side.
So Britt has this idea. New Year's Eve, we're going to try to make a Guinness Book of World Records, the most people ever line dancing at once in country western shirts.
And word reached all over town. Everyone at the hospital, everyone at the Metro Court, like it was getting around town. Everyone was going to attend this incredible event at the Lamaze Room.
New Year's Eve hits. It's the day. It's the big day. Everyone from around the region comes. Dick Clark even comes out of the grave so we can do the countdown for this special day.
But not only has everybody else been gearing up for it, so has Peter. He's been taking every square dancing lesson he can do. He's been stealing all the shirts, all the Western shirts he can gather. Because not only does he want to sell as many shirts as he can, he wants to be known as the preeminent dancing instructor.
What people didn't know is Peter had a secret. He had kidnapped Billy Ray Cyrus. Billy Ray was missing for about 3 months. They couldn't find him.
And the whole country was devastated. It was a 3 month just period of devastation. But sure enough, New Year's Eve came and everyone was packed into the ballroom, into the Lamaze room. The ballroom of the Lamaze room.
The Lamaze room.
When there was a knock at the door.
Who is it?
And there, in the Lamaze room, Peter bursts in and tells Britt he'll take over from here.
That's funny, dude. Oh, man. We got there. It took a little while, but we got there.
That was fun. And hey, we got some special celebrity guests in there. Dick Clark, Billy Ray Cyrus.
That was awesome.
That's amazing. That's another recap relay.
Recap relay.
That's right.
So fun. Anyway, so I just wanted to say my wife, she's doing another challenge online.
Oh, cool.
So she's really becoming her own businesswoman here, which is pretty cool to see. So we have a few other things happening too coming up soon, which I'm working on now because I have a little time off, which is awesome. But she's doing a challenge April 22nd. It's great. She does, you know, it's nutrition based, workout based, lives, motivation, all that stuff. So if you're interested in getting your life on track that way, go to SheriBurton.com. It's a private Instagram group. It's women only. It's a great community and it's just a lot of fun. And
so that's her SHEREEBurton.com.
Yeah, correct. Or you could check out her Instagram at one Sheree Burton. So anyway, she's doing that, which is great because people love it. And, you know, man. It's moving along for her.
That's so cool.
She's getting a publicist reached out to her to actually start putting her content into fitness magazines, fitness websites, all this stuff. So it's pretty cool, man.
Wow, dude.
It's a big move. It's a big move.
That is really cool. That's awesome.
But know what's even more cool?
What's that, dude?
Besides our hair today.
I
just love gearing up going on the road.
I know. You know, it's funny. I was listening to there's a podcast that I enjoy called Working It Out with Mike Birbiglia. He has a segment where he brings up usually either a story that he's working on. Or, you know, if his guest wants to bring something in, they'll go through it. And I thought about that but I don't want to, I'm so hesitant to divulge some of the stuff that I'm working on You know, which I think is, sure. is not a great instinct, you know, like,
I don't know. I kind of agree with you in the sense that, so here's the problem. I was talking to Linda, who books all our stuff, right? Linda Rowe, you guys know her at Coastal. We don't have any way to work our new material.
Yeah.
Right. So the first thing is, I don't think I know who I even am. If I'm going to call myself a comedian, let's just say that word for now, because I don't feel that way, but I don't even know who I am yet.
Well, right. Cause we don't, our point of view on, we don't have our, an individual point of view from our, from Bradford or Steve, right? Is that what you mean?
Well, because I feel that I could have a point of view because I do stuff that's personal to me. Right.
Right.
But I don't necessarily know what my style is yet.
Yes.
Right. That's what I'm trying, you know, like you watch Sebastian, he has a certain style. You watch Jim Gaffigan, he has a certain style. You watch Dana Carvey, he's got a certain style. You watch Dave Chappelle, who has a certain style, right? Yes. All these comedians have their own style, right? And it takes you to get up on stage to figure out what you, who you are.
Yeah.
Like I've heard a lot of comedians will go 2-3 years and go, oh,
that's it.
That's just kind of, I figured it out finally. Right.
Right. After so many times, this is where I feel like it lands or whatever. Right.
Like Andrew Dice Clay. Right. He wasn't always Andrew Dice Clay.
Right.
That just ended up being the thing that was most popular. And so he really dove into that.
It's funny. I always thought like dirty nursery rhymes would be good for you.
No, that's not good for me at all. No. But it sucks. I was talking to Linda. I go like, and that's why I mentioned to you, and you know, with COVID and all that stuff, I don't even know if it's possible to do, but to rent out a theater and just get people, like, you know, some GH fans to show up, like 50 people, you know, just socially socially distanced, and go, hey, we got to work on some material here. Like,
right.
You know, our first show is always like, I hope it works.
We'll see.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's just so, because once I get in this mind frame of going on the road,
yeah,
it just, you know, it opens up creative, something more creative for me where like every night now I'm writing.
That's so great.
Like every night I'm writing, I'm like, you know, I'll write a bit and then I'll go back and I'll keep going over it and fine tuning it and whatever, but I have no one to say it to, right. you know what I mean? Like I can say it to myself, but you know, once you're in front of an audience, the game, it's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
So we don't really have a place to work our stuff out, which kind of
makes it challenging.
It's very challenging.
Well, and that's why, you know, after being, you know, after a full year of maybe doing not necessarily always the same show, because there are pieces that change, but like after a year of working with, you know, certain bits, we're like, oh, even, well, two or three years, we generally do a scene, a quote unquote scene from the show towards the end of our show. And it, the structure of it has remained the same for the last few years, but it is, we've made changes to it and changes to our physicality, changes to the things that we say, to how we structure it. And we feel like only at the beginning of 2020, did we feel like, oh, this feels good. Cause sometimes our show didn't feel like it had a button. Didn't land.
Totally.
Like
totally.
We had a lot of great things in it, but then the end of the show didn't ever feel like
an end.
The end.
Yeah, totally.
And we found something that we were really happy with. And then of course we had to stop doing the show for a year. So that's interesting. It's like, you know, and we go back and forth going, gosh, you know, we need to do a new show every time we go out. And, you know, for the amount of shows that we do, that's challenging.
I have a lot of new material, dude. I mean,
yeah,
for this run coming up, I'm going to try to keep some of the old stuff because there's stuff that worked. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, our brains are working and stretching, and we thank you for the opportunity to do that, because it is something that's really special to us.
Yeah. So check out our dates in May. You know, capacities could change as we get closer to the date. They could allow more people in, but right now it's limited capacity. So don't wait on the tickets if you're thinking about it. you know, each place is going to be different anyway. You could always call and ask, but usually it's about 50% capacity right now.
Right.
Check that out. StoneColdTheJackal.com. We got 8 shows coming up here soon. And then we got July and August and probably in the fall, but
yeah, a couple days in September too.
Couple days in September. Yeah. So it's going to be amazing.
So, thank you everybody. If you can rate and review us on iTunes, that really helps get the word out to everybody.
Yes.
Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to you, our listeners, StoneColdTheJackal.com for everything. You can get everything. To our YouTube page from there, to our tour dates,
Patreon page.
That's right.
Yep.
So thank you everybody.
Have you guys are
wonderful,
awesome.
Wonderful week.
Later.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
100,000 downloads in a day. Be among the first to hear season 2 of the American Nightmare podcast series, an incredible true crime case.
Sherry Crandall actually almost predicted her demise.
A nurse murdered inside her hospital. DNA, fingerprints, even an eyewitness haven't helped solve this case in 23 years. But now, 2 decades later, police say they may finally have their big break.
I'm DC crime reporter Paul Wagner. Join me for season 2 of an American Nightmare series, Murder in a Safe Place, a WTOP production. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts.